And so the Lord really put this message on my heart. And, you know, my last message, we talked about how before we're saved, we're sinners. And then when we get saved, we're sons. But even though we become sons, at the same time, we could still be living in an orphan mindset. And the Lord doesn't want us to live in an orphan mindset. And so my heart is identity and knowing your position in Christ. And so that's one of your positions in Christ, is you're a son. But another position in Christ that is that you're in the Spirit. And so I'm going to be focusing today on the subject of the Spirit and the flesh. And it's funny because last week Cammie spoke, and some of the things that she touched on, I'm touching on too. And so if the Lord is bringing it up to me, then it must be something on his heart for the house. And so before I get into the whole Spirit and the flesh, I want to set a foundation, because I know there's different levels of believers here. Maybe you're just got saved a few months ago. Maybe you've been saved for over 50 years, like Pastor Lena. And so 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So when you give your life to Jesus and you become born again, your spirit is regenerated, and the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you, and your spirit and the Holy Spirit are joined together, according to 1 Corinthians 6:17. The spirit is the true you. You have a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you're in a body, which is this thing. And so today when I talk about the word flesh in the Greek is the word sarx. And when you see the word flesh in the Bible, you have to know that it has many meanings. And so when you're reading the Bible, you have to take into consideration the different contexts that it's talking about. And so some of the meanings of the flesh is, it could mean the word body. It could mean the substance of the body, or like the meaty part of the body. It could be referring to a living creature. Could also be referring to self-reliance. And then it can also be referring to the earthly nature of man apart from God. And so, you know, there's so many meanings to it. So you have to, whenever you get into the word and you see the word flesh, it's like, okay, Lord, what's the meaning of this? Because if you try to put one meaning to all of it, it's not going to make sense. And so today, though, specifically when I talk about the flesh, I'm going to be referring specifically to the earthly nature of man apart from God. Some people refer to it as the old man, the old nature that was born into Adam, and some denominations call it the sin nature. I talked in my last sermon about how I used to be in a young adults group, and it was guys coming together trying to hold each other accountable, and we were all struggling in sin. You know, we were just trying to get over sin, but it was like none of us were free. We were just struggling. And one of the phrases I always heard was, "Man, I was just in the flesh today." You know, I was just struggling. My flesh got the best of me. I'm in the flesh, flesh. And so it's like, when you hear stuff like that, it's like, okay, what does that even really mean? And I'm not even saying that necessarily what they were referring to is what I'm referring to today. I think it plays a part. But when you say that you're in something, that's your position. And so you don't want to mistake your position with something that you're just walking in. So it may be true that you're struggling and walking according to the flesh, which would be your old man, your old nature, but you're in the spirit. You're not in the flesh. And so John 3:3-6 says, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And Romans 8:9 says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." And Galatians 5:24-25 says, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So since we're in Christ, you have to realize you're not trying to get into the Spirit and out of the flesh. You are already in the Spirit and out of the flesh. And Romans 6:6 says, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." The flesh, or the old man, has been crucified. God isn't trying to fix your old fleshly nature. He killed it and gave you a new one. Let me repeat that. God isn't trying to fix your old fleshly nature. He killed it and gave you a new one. You're a new creation, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're a new man, Ephesians 4:24. You are a partaker of the divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4. You are in the Spirit. If you don't know your position in Christ and in the Spirit, you will continue to walk according to the flesh. You may be saying to yourself, "Okay, but I still have the desires of the flesh." And yeah, that's probably your experience. Like, we grew up in this world for so many years apart from God. Like, you're going to have mindsets and things that you're still working through. You're going to have old tendencies and old habits that when you get saved, it doesn't just fall off. Your spirit is born again, but your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions, they still need to be renewed. They still need to be changed. And so it may be true that you feel the desires of the flesh, but the truth gives you the ability to have the passions and desires of the flesh crucified. But you will not begin to walk in something that God has given you if you don't know that you already have it. So we have a walking problem, not a positional problem. Galatians 5:16-17 says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Another translation says, "desires of the flesh." "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." And Romans 8:1-2 says, "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death." So you are in the Spirit, and you're called to walk in the Spirit. But your thoughts determine your walk. I'm going to repeat that. Your thoughts determine your walk. Romans 8:5-7 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." So like I said earlier, we grew up in the world. We grew up sinning and not caring about it. You know, we didn't have conviction because we didn't have the Holy Spirit in us. I could sin over and over and over, not care at all. If I wanted to, I could go steal something, not care at all. I've never stolen anything, so you don't have to worry about that. But just think about it. Think about before you were born again and whenever you were sinning, you didn't care. It was part of your nature. It was in you. You were born into Adam, who was born into sin. But now that you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you're a brand new creation. You're a new person on the inside. And so we have to renew our mind and set our mind on the things of the Spirit. It doesn't just happen overnight. And you also have to be intentional about it. Romans 12:2, which Kirk referenced earlier, And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. And Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So you have to meditate on the word. You have to meditate on the things of the Spirit. And over time, seeking him and meditating on his word, things start to change in your mind. And so, this is kind of random, but this is my favorite hat. I got this hat for Christmas in 2010. I love this hat. Like, I know it's similar to the one I'm wearing now. To you guys, it probably looks the same, but I mean, there's little details in here. There's some blue specks in here you can't really see. But over time of wearing this hat, there's so much wear and tear on it. If you can look on the inside, it's all messed up. Like, there used to be a whole layer there that's not there anymore. And even now, the cardboard is split in half. This happened probably about a year and a half ago. And Alicia would always be like, man, we should get you a new hat. I'm like, no, I'm good. I love this hat. Like, it's fine. I don't know. I have so many memories of this hat. Even all my friends are like, oh, you're wearing the Dan hat today. But one day, Alicia, she finally got me two new hats, actually. But I'm just like, no, I love this hat. Like, that's cool that you got me a hat. Thank you. But, you know, I got this hat. And then probably a few weeks to a month later, I put on the new hat. And I was like, oh, wow. One, it looks nicer, like, in my opinion. But also, there's air circulation. It doesn't make sense to me, but this one, oh my gosh, I put it on for 5 minutes and I'm sweating. Like, maybe it's because the layer's gone, I don't know. But it was like, okay, something shifted. Like, I put on this new hat. It feels better. It looks better. It's not all gross. Like, I'm going to be honest, I probably need to spray this later because this hat, there's a little smell to this hat. But here's the thing. I didn't know what I was missing out on because I was so set in my old ways and what felt familiar. Even though the new hat had already been bought and paid for, it took me changing my mind for me to finally put on the new hat. And so my old hat, it represents my mindset on the desires of the flesh or my old ways. And the new hat represents the desires of the Spirit and putting on the new man. Jesus paid the price to make you a new man. It's up to you to put on everything he paid for. I'll repeat that. Jesus paid the price to make you a new man. It's up to you to put on everything he paid for. And so that's why it's so important to get into the word, to meditate on the things day and night, to meditate on his word day and night, to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. There's days that I just feel drained, I feel tired. But when I get into the word, it's like it just refreshes my soul. Like, I'm going to be honest, on Friday after work, I left, I was tired, I felt mentally drained. Like, we had some things happen, and so we're going to have to get some repairs done. And it was last second. I'm glad we caught it when we did. But, like, after work, I'm just like, man, I was tapped out. But I knew, it's like this sermon was even preaching to me because I had already gone over it earlier that day. And it was just like I got into the word, and the word just breathed life into me. His words are spirit and they're life, and they bring nourishment and life into your soul. When you feel heavy, when you feel burdened, when you feel down, get into the word. Seek his face because he'll uplift you on the inside, and then it comes over into the soul, to your mind, your will, and the emotions. And Ephesians 5:26 says, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. And so here's the thing. When you're in the word, it washes your mind. Everyone is brainwashed. Your brain is either washed by the world or your brain is washed by the word. Your brain is either washed by the world or your brain is washed by the word. What are you putting into your mind? What are you focusing on? Are you just, look, I love TV. I love UFC. Like, I was watching it last night. We had some people over. We were just hanging out and just talking. And, but like, that's not my main focus, you know? It's like a certain hour, like once every couple weeks. But what are you putting into your mind constantly? What's constantly going into you? What are you feeding your spirit? What is going into your soul? What's affecting your mind, your will, your emotions? Because that's what's going to determine your mindset. Is your mindset on the things of the flesh? It doesn't even have to be sin. But it could be just things that aren't going to edify you spiritually. That aren't going to, maybe you're just listening to something negative. Like, I don't listen to the news. Because for me, anytime I've listened to the news, it doesn't uplift me. I'm not saying the news is bad, but for me personally, I feel heavy afterwards. And so when we're getting into the word, we're being washed, we're being sanctified. The word is our spiritual food. We're being fed and nourished. The word is where we learn to hear his voice. It's where we're able to learn the truth. And so that way when a lie comes, we can take hold of that lie and replace it with truth. Getting into the word is what sustains your spiritual walk. It's where you get to meet him face to face every day. I've been going through the Old Testament. The past couple of weeks, I went all the way through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And just refreshing myself on the story of Moses. And it's like, I've heard this before, but it just really stuck out to me a few days ago. God didn't just ask Moses to go on the mountain. He wanted everyone to go up. But the people said, Moses, no, you go up for us. And so, you know, you can look to spiritual leaders, you can look to spiritual people, but you have to have your mountaintop moment. You have to have your face-to-face moment with the Lord. You can't just rely on everyone else's revelation. You have to seek God for yourself, because me getting into the word and renewing my mind isn't going to affect you renewing your mind. So if all you're doing is listening to sermons, look, I love sermons. I listen to sermons all the time, but there's nothing like getting into the word. Sermons can bring you more understanding that maybe you haven't heard or seen, and the Holy Spirit can also breathe life into you while you're in the word and give you understanding as well. But it doesn't replace your one-on-one time with the Lord. You determine the time you spend with him. And like I said earlier, the word is our spiritual food. It nourishes us. But here's the thing. A lot of Christians won't fast from food, but they'll fast from the word for a week and wonder why they're still walking according to the flesh. We're not called to fast from the word. We're called to fast food. And I don't mean McDonald's. So how do you know that you're walking according to the Spirit? You'll know you're walking according to the Spirit by the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, long-suffering, which is patience. Someone told me that they had a friend that thought long-suffering was suffering. And it's like, no, the fruit of the Spirit isn't suffering. It's patience. It's kindness, it's goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Your circumstances and situations aren't always going to be perfect. But you can walk in the Spirit and in the fruit of the Spirit in every circumstance. And so there's a practice that I heard a minister teach years and years ago, and it's something I've actually implemented into my life, and it's called walking in the opposite spirit. And so anytime that you're in a situation, maybe there's just some person who just always gets on your nerves or something like that, and you know you have to be around them. Maybe they're your coworker. Maybe they're your boss. And so when you're around them, go to the fruit of the Spirit. What fruit of the Spirit can I apply to this situation? Maybe I need to choose love. Maybe I need to choose some joy and peace. Maybe I need to just have some patience when I'm around them. And so for me, my big issue years and years ago was I used to complain a lot. And I mean a lot. I would just complain about, man, I'm hungry. Like, I'm hungry. I'm tired. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. Just complain, 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 complain. And one day, Alicia was like, Dan, you got to stop complaining. Like, I'm tired of hearing this. All you do is complain. You got to stop. I mean, I used to get really hangry. Like, Pastor Lena knows I used to get hangry. And so if you want to defeat being hangry, you need a fast. Do a three-day fast. It'll crush that. And if you get hangry after that, fast again. And so I love my wife, Alicia. If you ever want to know the truth about yourself, ask Alicia, because she'll tell you. And if you hang out around her long enough and you still don't want to know, she'll still tell you. But the thing is, you know it's true. But the thing is, when she does, it's always from a good place. It's from a good heart. It's for your benefit. She's not doing it out of just being annoyed. It's like, it's for your benefit. And so because I know her heart, I know that, okay, there has to be truth about this. I was a little offended at first because it's like, this is just how I am. You know, I'm just complaining. I don't even think it's complaining, but it is. And so I was reflecting on it, and like the Lord is speaking to me. And so I realized, okay, I complain a lot. And so what am I going to do? Lord, like what fruit of the Spirit can I apply to this? And so for me, it took a lot of self-control because those thoughts would still come to my mind. I would still want to complain, but I would have self-control and I wouldn't let them out. And then I would choose joy. Lord, I'm not going to complain in this situation. I'm going to choose your joy. It's an intentional thing. You have to, you know, when you grow in the Lord, when you're growing in your walk with him, sometimes the fruit of the Spirit just comes natural. But at the same time, we're called to be disciples and we're called to be disciplined. And so sometimes it takes intention and discipline to apply the fruit of the Spirit in situations. And here's the thing. Cam, we talked about complaining last week. God hates complaining. No one likes complaining. Like, in my opinion, complaining is the language of hell. What do you think demons are doing all the time? They're complaining. They're not in heaven anymore. They used to be in heaven. They experienced God in his full glory. They were there. They're cast out. What do you think they're doing now? They're complaining. And they're going to be complaining for a long, long time. And so complaining is the language of hell. God doesn't like complaining. When you look at the children of Israel, when they were wandering in the wilderness, just complaining, 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 the Lord didn't like that. Cam, we talked about that last week. And so whatever your situation is, what is the fruit of the Spirit that you can apply in your life? And so I love the fruit of the Spirit. I also love the gifts of the Spirit. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit. Sometimes we refer to them as the spiritual gifts. I'm not going to go over each one right now, but an example would be the gift of healing. There's gift of prophecy where the Lord is speaking to you over someone. It can be about a future thing or just something like a confirming word that the Lord has already spoken to them. There's the word of knowledge, which could be a fact about somebody. And so if you don't know about the gifts of the Spirit, come and talk to one of us, one of the leaders. And it's also in your Bible in 1 Corinthians 12. But the thing is, you can operate in the gifts of the Spirit without walking in the fruit of the Spirit. And that's a dangerous place to be. Because the fruit of the Spirit is the character. It's your character in the Spirit. And so if you have a bad character and you're operating in the gifts, people are going to get hurt. Even in the Word, the Corinthian church, the Word says that they excelled the most in their spiritual gifts. Paul said, you're excelling in the spiritual gifts, but he still called them carnal. He called them fleshly. And so it's in the Word. You can operate in those things and still be living carnal, still be walking according to the flesh. And so there was a time that, it was back in probably 2015, 2016. Alicia and I, we'd been walking in healing for a while, but we had never really, Alicia was actually pretty good at the prophetic at the time. For me, that was one of my weaknesses, I guess you could say. Not weaknesses, but I never really walked in that gift before. And so we sat under a prophet for a year. And if you know anything about the prophetic, I feel like there's different levels that you... The more faith you have, because the more you've prophesied, the more accurate you get, the more confident you get that you're hearing the Lord's voice. And so for us, when it started out, we would just get pictures. And then in 1 Corinthians 14, it says that the prophetic is to edify, to build up. And so we would get pictures and, you know, ask the Lord, like, okay, how do you feel about this person? You know, because we would practice. And so we were in a Walmart parking lot and we were just talking about the prophetic. We weren't prophesying over anyone or anything like that. And we just used the example of, what if God gave us a picture of a gummy bear? And for me, when I think of gummy bears, I think of a red gummy bear. Like, red gummy bears are my favorite. I don't eat gummy bears a lot, but just when I think of a gummy bear, I think of a red gummy bear. And so we were just talking about the prophetic and the picture of the red gummy bear. We went into Walmart, and about literally 5 minutes after, we walked down the aisle, and this lady has a big tattoo of a red gummy bear. And so we're just like, what the heck? Like, God, like, okay, you got our attention, you know? We're talking about the things of God. We're talking about the things of the Spirit. And the Lord just highlights this lady. And so Alicia and I, we go up to her and we're like, hey, could we pray for you? I mean, we didn't tell her the whole story. And she's like, yeah. And so while we're praying for her, Alicia, she gets a word of knowledge. And so, like I said before, a word of knowledge is a fact about someone. And so it can come in different ways. Sometimes you could hear, for me, sometimes I hear in my mind, like, oh, that person has back pain. Sometimes I'll have tingling on my back. For Alicia, she actually sometimes would feel their pain. And so when she was praying, she had pain in her neck. And so Alicia asked, hey, is your neck hurting? And she's like, yeah, actually it is. And so we prayed for her and she got healed on the spot. And so when you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit, when you're operating in the gifts of the Spirit, when you're talking about the things of the Spirit, when you're meditating on the things of the Spirit, God moves. You're in sync with him. You're aware of what he's wanting to do. Even though in the moment when we brought up the red gummy bear, we didn't know that was going to lead to anything. It was like, okay, that was God. Like, I don't know if God put that thought of a red gummy bear in my mind or whatever, but like, that doesn't happen. I've never seen a red gummy bear tattoo in my life before. Since or after. And I know a lot of people with tattoos. And so, like I said, getting into the Word is one of the ways that you renew your mind. That's one of the ways to just start walking in the Spirit. There's two other practical ways that I like to practice personally. And one of them is worship and thanksgiving. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Psalms 104 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. When I wake up, no matter what, the first thing I do is thank you, God, for today. I thank you. I get to know you. I get to know you. I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die for me. I thank you that you made me a son. I worship you. I exalt you. And I'm just worshiping him. I'm exalting him. I'm thanking him. I thank him for things that we don't think about. Like, I thank him that we have AC in our houses. I thank him that we have water, because there's so many places that don't have those things that we just don't think about. If we ever go to Uganda or another third world nation, they don't have a lot of those necessities. Like, we had to build a well because they didn't have clean water. And so I'm just thanking him first thing in the morning. And I feel like that just sets up my day to have my mind on the Spirit, to have my mind on the things of the Spirit. I would love to say that every morning I just get into the Word, but that doesn't happen. Sometimes our schedules are crazy. I do get into the Word every single day, but I don't, for me personally in the season that I'm in, I don't have that set time. What my day looks like is thanking him, worshiping him. Then I get my baby Ella, and then I feed her. And while I'm feeding her, I know Lena talked about this a few months ago, but I used to pray in tongues for about an hour a day. And since Ella has been born, I started that practice up again. And for me, I just feel like when I pray in tongues, in Jude 1:20 it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." There's other verses talking about when you pray in the Spirit that it's edifying you, that's building you up. And so in your inner man, you're being built up. And so I'll pray in tongues for an hour while I'm feeding Ella, while I'm doing the dishes in the morning. Sometimes I'll pray longer, but in the morning, those are my two practices. I wake up, I thank the Lord, I praise him, and I pray in tongues. And I feel like my day is just set. If you've never prayed in the Spirit in the morning, I'd encourage you to do it. You don't have to do it, but I'm just telling you, try it, even 30 minutes. I know it sounds like a lot, but I've experienced the fruit of it. I've experienced how God has moved in my life in that. I feel more sensitive to his voice. The way that I sort of describe it is, it's like, you know, the old radios when you're switching through the channels and trying to get the right frequency. When you pray in the Spirit, it's like, okay, you're just dialing in and there you are. And so I would just encourage you, like, if you have a prayer language, pray in the Spirit. If you don't have one, come to us after. We're going to be praying in general. And if that's something that you desire, like, we'll pray for you. And if you have stumbling blocks in your mind, we can show you in the Scripture and just get those things out of you. And so those are just three practical things that you can do to set your day up, to walk in the Spirit, to be able to renew your mind, because you're in the Spirit. But we want to walk according to the Spirit. We don't want to walk according to the flesh. We don't want to have to just always give in to sin. We don't always want to just give in to every desire that comes through our mind. Because the Lord wants to change your desires. He paid a price for those desires to be changed. And so I'm going to close up. My key takeaways I would want you to get out of this message is, you're in the Spirit. You're a new man. You're renewing your mind and setting your thoughts on the things of the Spirit to be able to walk in the Spirit. And so, if the ministry team could come up here, if you need prayer for anything, maybe you don't know Jesus and you want to know Jesus, we can lead you in a prayer into meeting him. We can give you some materials if you don't know Jesus. If you need healing in your body, the Lord is a God who heals and he wants to heal. I specifically heard hamstrings, backs, shoulder, and rotator cuff. I was asking the Lord, is there anything that you need that you're, he'll heal anything, but those are the things I specifically heard. And then if you're just going through tough situations, the Lord wants to meet you. Maybe you need some emotional healing. Maybe your heart is heavy. Maybe you've just had a really heavy day, heavy week. Maybe you just got bad news this morning and you look happy on the outside, but on the inside, you're crying, you're going through stuff. The Lord wants to meet you here. And so I'll just pray over us. And if any of those things apply to you, or if even there's some other situation, just feel free to come up. Father, I just thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace. I thank you, God, for your goodness. Jesus, Lord, I thank you that we get to know you. Our heart is to know you. Our heart is to seek you. Our heart is to be in you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we get to walk in the Spirit, that you've killed our old man. You've killed the flesh, God. And our heart is just to walk and step with you and line with you. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you want to move today. We love you, Lord. We set our lives down at your feet, God. Reign in our hearts, Lord. Reign in our hearts, reign in our lives, reign in our minds, God. I thank you, Lord, that you paid a price for healing in our body. You paid a price to get us saved, Lord. And you paid a price to give us peace in our mind. We love you, Lord, and we just thank you, Jesus, for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Feel free to come up if you need prayer.